The special invitation this morning in worship as our children scurry to get in their places. They have been preparing for some weeks now for this presentation of the Nativity. And they are full of smiles and laughter, and they've been having the best time preparing for this. And now they finally have the moment of opportunity to share what they've been working on with all of you. It is not often that our incredible choir gets upstage, but it might happen today. And when it does happen, it's usually little children dressed in period costumes, so it's okay. So today we invite you to travel with our children in hearts and minds, even unto Bethlehem, to see this thing that the Lord has done, and the babe lying in a manger. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the Roman world should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And so Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. He went there to be registered with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And so it was that while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in the country living nearby, out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the world. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with this angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all on whom his favor rests." How great our joy!
The sheep we watched at night, glad tidings brought an angel bright. How great our joy, great our joy, 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 joy. Praise we the Lord in heaven high, praise we the Lord in joy, great our joy.
And so it was when the angels had left them and gone back into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, there came magi from the east, saying, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this news, he was greatly troubled. He gathered all of the chief priests and scribes of the law together and asked them where Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for that is what has been written by the prophets." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way. The Lord has truly come for us all. Please, congregation, join and stand together as we sing, "O Little Children."
Thank you.
As we say in worship here at First Baptist, God is good. And all the time.
God is good.
It's certainly appropriate to say that on a morning like this, where we have seen the story of the Christ child born in Bethlehem shared with us. We will hear more of this story as we continue to worship through the words of ancient prophets, through some beautiful music. And we especially have a guest with us today on cello. We're thankful for you being with us and sharing your talents. If you're a visitor here with us today, we encourage you to take a visitor card and fill that out. You can place it in the offering plate this morning. It helps us get to know you a little bit better, but also to share with you upcoming opportunities. You'll find those cards on the back of the pew in front of you. There's also a prayer card right next to that. If you have any concerns or needs that you'd like to share with our very active prayer team, we encourage you to place that in the offering plate as well. Or you can fold it up and place it in the prayer box outside in the vestibule. We want to remind you that this evening we have at 4 o'clock our church-wide caroling opportunity. It doesn't matter how you sing, if you sing beautifully or if you're more like your preacher. Either way, we encourage you to come and share as we go to visit our shut-ins. Our children will be with us, and then we have our children's party and activities following our fellowship meal. Roundtable is tonight, too. Don't forget that. We have much to discuss in this coming new year. If you're unfamiliar or if you're a new member, maybe you've never been to a round table, first of all, you should know it's not round. It's actually kind of square. But it's the point of the round table is this is where we discuss the business of the church. This is where we make the decisions. We learn about our teams and who's serving. We vote on deacons and we review the budget each time we have a round table meeting. So I encourage you to come and be a part of that. Today, as we continue to worship, we are considering the promises of God. We began by saying God is good, and indeed He is. But He's good for good reason, and there's much good that God does. As we worship, would you play in your mind a video of your life and all of those moments that God has been good to you?
Our first reading this morning is from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 12. In that day you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim His name, make known among the nations what He has done, and proclaim that His name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for He has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you.
Let us pray this morning. Father God, as we gather on this third Sunday of Advent, in anticipation and preparation for the celebration of your return, Father, we are reminded just this morning about how many details came into play as the Christ child came to this earth. Father, all the plans were moving, your hands were guiding this wonderful story that hasn't stopped, that continues this day into this place, into this church family, and we give you thanks. We give you thanks for sending your Spirit to be among us this morning in our time of worship, as we sing, as we read scripture, as we reflect on what we've just seen and what we will hear, Father, we anticipate your speaking to us through the Spirit. We are thankful. Father God, we gather here as your body, sharing the love of Christ to all that gather here and to all that do not gather here, and we give you thanks. Father, we lift this prayer in your Son, Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The ancient words of the prophets. However, it is not Christmas yet. We still have much to prepare. Advent is a time to remember that most importantly, we must prepare for the fulfillment of another promise. Christ shall come again.
That'll take place next Sunday morning. During our morning worship service next Sunday, we'll be collecting an offering for our CBF Global Missions. This year, time of year, as we gather with family and friends, we enjoy the celebration this season brings. We're reminded there are many missionaries around this world, sponsored by CBF, that will not get to spend this holiday with family. But they continue to share the love of Christ. They continue to share the message that we're called to share every single day. So I want you to prayerfully consider next Sunday morning contributing to the CBF Global Missions offering. And we wanted to share a video with you this morning that shows just a little bit of what this offering allows us to do.
For us, loving God and loving our neighbor means that we become neighbors and we live in the neighborhood and minister as neighbors.
Working a Project Ruth for me is a response to a vision that I had since I was young. I was always keen to see how Jesus asked the church to be involved in helping the poor and how to show God's love to the neighbor.
These are my neighbors here in Texas on the border. Nothing thrills me more than to see them be able to take a step out of poverty.
We came to work with and among the Roma people. I think the good news of the gospel is that God loves them and God values them and cares for them.
We know that the school to prison pipeline of kids who are not reading at grade level by grade three have a increasingly higher chance of being in the prison population.
Children in poverty who are not reading up to par at the third grade level, they are 13 times more likely to drop out of high school.
Brian came to us and he couldn't read.
When I was in fifth grade, out of my first book, when I mastered, I was so happy. Now I could read anything I want.
The offering for Global Missions is very important to our work. It allows us to focus on our ministry, on the folks that we serve, and on meeting those needs.
We work with the Roma population, which is one of the most illiterate populations in Southeastern Europe.
And even reading the Bible, as we rotate through the class and ask the pastor to read verses of Scripture, some of them will actually have to pass because they don't have that skill.
And I think about the way God communicates with us through His Word, but people can't access that Word. Not only are you teaching them how to navigate this system, but you're teaching them how to connect with God.
The gospel that Jesus said, I come that you may have life and have it to the full. And that's not just a hereafter thing, that's a here and now thing.
When a child can read on grade level, when a student understands math for the first time, it opens a world of opportunity to them, and it literally does transform their lives.
As you are able, please stand with me to sing Away in a Manger.
Thank you.
please join me in our pastoral prayer and confession? Oh God, we come before you as sinners, yet sinners for whom your memory has failed you. The word says that you remember our sins no more, that as far as east is from the west, so far are our transgressions. This is by your mercy and your grace for those who believe in you. And so we stand before you sinners, yet sinners saved by grace. And it's with that confidence in you, not in ourselves, that we approach your throne, Lord, and lift up the many, many names on our prayer list, asking God that you would look upon them with grace and mercy, that you would be good to them in your wisdom. And Lord, in this season of violence and war and turmoil, let us not give in to fear. Let us not become slaves to fear, but to have faith in you, who is Lord over all, King of kings, mighty God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our second scripture comes from Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God always blesses the reading and the hearing of his word. Amen. Amen. I think this is the perfect Sunday for our children to share with us in music and song and in their own version of the Nativity story. This was not the full version they wanted to share with you. Their original version involved Darth Vader and some other characters. But we deemed that maybe that was not appropriate. But it was. You never know what you're going to get when you have a children's play for a Nativity. I told you last year about the time that I was a wise man, and when I knelt to open my gift, I said, "Parquet." Just couldn't resist it. And you've seen all kinds of YouTube videos and people post things on Facebook about things that go wrong in a Nativity play, like there was the donkey that Mary was riding in a live Nativity, and the donkey wouldn't go. Could you imagine all of history held up by a stubborn donkey who wouldn't go forward? My favorite donkey video is the one when the narrator says that it came to pass, she gave birth, all of a sudden the donkey decided, this is the right moment to go, oh, oh, oh. You know, there's some bad theology in those plays sometimes. I've seen a camel bite a wise man's hat and all kinds of things like that. The people who forget their lines and have meltdowns, like the fallen angel, this little girl who just completely lost it, ripped off her halo, tore off her wings, and stormed off the set. And you're left thinking, what does that mean theologically? What is the message here? But the reason this Sunday is a great Sunday to do this is because today is the third Sunday of Advent. And this is the day where we light this rose-colored candle, this third one. You see, the light is so much brighter. We said at the beginning of Advent, this is like a birthday cake that you light slowly over the course of weeks. And the light is growing brighter and brighter. We are drawing closer and closer to Christmas Eve when we light the white candle. But this candle is different for a reason. It's because this day is different. Today in the church calendar is called Gaudete, which is Latin for rejoice. It's the Rejoice Sunday or the Joy Sunday. In this long winter Lent that we call Advent, a time where we really hold off on a lot of the Christmassy songs and we focus on penance and preparing our hearts and minds for Christ. And we're also hearing this message throughout Advent that it's not just about preparing for Christmas, but Advent reminds us we must prepare for Christ's second advent, his return at the end of the age. When Christ comes back, will we be ready? That's kind of a gloomy message during this time of year. So on this third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete, or Rejoice Sunday, this is the Sunday where we've been holding it back and holding it back, and finally our smiles burst. And the sound system does something crazy and everybody laughs. Because it's okay. It's a celebration Sunday. A Sunday to say, we are almost there. Almost to Christmas. And who knows, maybe almost to the final day when God comes back in glory. And that's not a bad thing to be close to that. It's a good thing. And so as we think about rejoicing today, the scripture that churches all over the world are reading for this Sunday is Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah is not your go-to book of the Bible, is it? Is that in your favorite list of books of the Bible? Is that your life verse from Zephaniah? Probably not, but you will be familiar with this passage, whether you can name it or quote it chapter and verse or not. Here, the prophet, looking ahead towards the redemption of Israel, looking ahead to that great Bethlehem moment when Messiah finally comes, he prophesies saying, "Sing aloud, O daughter Zion, shout, O Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem, for the Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, 'Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove the disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, said the Lord. Every itty-bitty inch of this passage is just dripping with joy and hope and promise. What a message in this third Sunday of Advent to receive from God. Because we are on all sides surrounded with these fearful and terrible things. And it is doom and gloom every time you turn on the news. And our theme for Advent has certainly been one of hope in the midst of hopelessness. Boldness and joy in the face of fear. And with the fear-mongering and the saber-rattling all around us, what a word of promise. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. It begins by telling us to praise God, to celebrate God, to be thankful for God. But what is amazing about this is how quickly it moves from us being told to celebrate God to God saying, I celebrate you. I extol you. I'm going to make your name great. I rejoice in who you are. You know, a lot of people feel very lowly towards their own selves and beat themselves up. We don't think our bodies are good enough. We don't think our income's high enough. We don't think our jobs are important enough. If we could just lose a little weight and make a little more money, get lean in one place and fat in another, then we would be important. But God says, you matter, and I rejoice in you. You are mine. It's powerful, this idea that God wants to do away with our fear, our self-loathing. And then he says, I'm going to extol over you like at a festival. God's going to have a party over you. God wants to party because of you. You are the reason for his partying and his celebrating. That you are special to him, and that in the end, God seeks to restore the fortunes, to make the lame not just walk, but to do away with their shame. When I was a teenager, we would say, that's lame. That's just lame. Do you ever feel lame? Now, here he's talking about a literal lameness. But there is a sense in our attitude of lameness. God seeks to remove that, lift that, and toss it out and say, you're worth celebrating. You're worth having a party over. This third Sunday of Advent is just a great opportunity to remember that and to just marinate in that truth for a little while. Let it attach itself to you. And change the way you think about yourself will change the way you think about others. And it'll certainly change the way we think about God. God is good. We started this service by saying God is good. And we say this, it's a call and response. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. But when I read a passage like that, that's when I begin to understand what we mean when we say God is good. I love to break things down. Break that down for a moment in your mind, that call and response. The anatomy of a good call and response is that it's not just catchy. It's not just clever or fun. It's not just got some history to it, but that it is truth. If you just stop with God is, you've said enough. God is what? God is. He is everything. He is the one who has the power to do what he's promising. He is the one who formed you and created you, and he is the one saying, you matter. You matter so much, Bethlehem. You mattered so much, Calvary. You mattered so much, empty tomb. And you continue to matter so much that one day the sky will part and the Son of Man will come riding on clouds in glory. God is good. Think about that statement. It's not saying God does good. It's not saying God is capable of doing some good things. It's not saying God does good stuff or goodish stuff. No, God is what good is. God is good. He is the fullness and the ultimate embodiment of all that is good, and that things that are good because they're godly, not the other way around. And when we get that order right, we begin to say, wow, all good things are from above. And I love the second half of this response. Because we don't just say God is good sometimes, or God's pretty good most of the time. I've got good friends, but they're not good to me all the time. We have good family members, but they're not good always. People are people, and they do peopleish things. But God is good all the time. And just to make sure we get that, we always say it twice. And all the time, God is good. I have found in my life that I was lied to when I was led to Christ. And you were probably lied to too. You probably had a pastor or an evangelist or a well-intentioned missionary or Sunday school teacher who said, just give your heart to Christ and everything will be perfect. You'll have peace and joy and happiness forever. And everything will go your way. Maybe you even were told that gospel prosperity stuff, that God will give you lots of money and better jobs and a better car. And all of it has proven to be false. That in the story where Jesus says, you build your house on the rock, not the sand, where do the rains and the winds come? Where do the floods rise up and the rivers and streams flow into? Is it just the house of the believer? No, it's on both houses. Bad stuff's going to happen to us. Bad stuff's always going to happen until the ending of time. Jesus doesn't say, I'll make all the bad things go away. But he says, I am with you. And I will restore you. And I will be with you to the ending of the age. And in Advent, we proclaim this mystery that one day, that as good as God is now, one day he is coming back to finish what he started. And he will make all things finally new. Whenever life just kind of stinks, whenever I feel lame or do these pity parties or beat myself up, whenever I lose someone I love, a mother, a brother, a friend, whenever I turn on the news and I see all of this hate and violence and racism and this xenophobia, whenever I see and experience all of that, I've committed to doing this spiritual discipline, this practice of just saying, no matter what I'm seeing and experiencing, just say it, God is good all the time. Because that's not a statement about the external stuff in the world and in my life. That's a statement of faith about what I know to be true, whether I can see it or not. That's the difference between faith and just going on whatever we can see. When things go rough and the floods come and everything's not going your way and everything is not going the way you dreamed it would go and the plans that you made for your life aren't working out and you find yourself like a couple of Middle Eastern refugees named Mary and Joseph who they had a plan for their marriage, they had a plan for their life, they had everything mapped out in this perfect little dream house where everything was going to be perfect and their little kid was going to grow up and stay at home and take over the family business. And it didn't go that way. And yet, I believe Mary and Joseph could faithfully proclaim, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Would you pray with me? We say it on faith and believe it fully. We have experienced it and we know it to be true. We have faith. Help us to have more faith. We believe. Help us in our unbelief. To know and trust in your promise that you are the God who celebrates us and restores our fortune. In the name of Jesus, we pray, we hope, and we believe. Amen. We invite you to respond to God's word. Maybe you need to respond by coming here and having just a time of prayer between you and the Lord. The altar is open to you today. Maybe you've never accepted this God who is so good. Today is the day. Or maybe as you hear that word talking about, I'm going to bring you home, you seek a home for the holidays, a church home, a family. We invite you to come and make that desire known publicly. As we sing together, we invite you to stand if you are able. Spirit of the living God, please stand. Receive this blessing as we go and remain standing for our benediction response. May the God of Israel fill your mouth with laughter this week, your belly full of laughter, your heart full of laughter, your mind full of laughter, running over and filling the lives of others around you with laughter. May the Lord be your joy and your salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
May God's grace go before you. May His love increase.